Okay, so we're going to just spend some time thinking together about that passage that Ethan read from. So it'd be really helpful if you have your Bible open. If you have, we're given one on the way in, one of the black Bibles. As Ethan said, that's page 1155. 1155, Mark chapter 4. And you should also have been given a sheet on the way in. And on that, you'll have an outline of what we're going to think about this morning, so it can help you. Both now as we think about it, but then as you can take it away and think about it some more, I hope, afterwards as well. So I thought it'd be good this morning to come back to this classic harvest Thanksgiving parable this morning. This story of a farmer sowing some seeds. Now, when Jesus told this parable, he's faced with a huge crowd of people, okay? So on the side of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, it's so big that he's been in danger of being crushed. And so what he's done is he's got into a little boat and they've moored just off the shore. And there he is in the boat on the sea speaking to the people who are along the shore. This is the height of Jesus's popularity. You may know that for 3 years he went about speaking, preaching, doing miracles. And this is the height of his popularity during that time. And it must have seemed very encouraging to have such a great crowd of people. But as Jesus looked out on that crowd, he knew that not everyone had come for the same reason. Not everyone would listen in the same way. There were some who had come just because there was a crowd. Wanted to know what was going on. Some had just been brought along, probably weren't quite sure why they were there. Some had come with the hope of seeing a miracle. They'd heard about Jesus' miracles. Would they see one? Some had come to criticize, find fault in what Jesus had to say. I'm sure there were some who didn't really know why they were there at all. And so Jesus knows he's got different types of people before him, and he knew they're going to have many different responses to the message that he preached. And so he tells this very parable to illustrate that very point, to challenge the people who were listening to him to be careful how they listened and what they did with his message. So here I am this morning. It's not quite a massive multitude, but I'm pleased to see you all here this morning. And I'm sure you've all come for many different reasons. Some of you have just been brought along, haven't you? You have to come. Some of you are here to please somebody else, perhaps, or because you think you ought to be here. Some of you perhaps heard there was food afterwards, and that's why you're here. I don't know. But there's many different people, and there's many different responses to the message of the gospel. And so what I want us to do this morning then is ask, I want you to ask yourself, how will I respond to this vital message of Jesus Christ? What sort of ground in this parable, what sort of soil best represents me? We often call this the parable of the sower, but it's probably better to call it the parable of the soils. In many ways, that's what it's about. Now, what's a parable? Now, generally, we teach the children a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning or a spiritual meaning. And that's quite a good explanation of it. The word parable actually means to bring alongside. So it's like you're bringing an earthly story alongside some truth that you want to make clear. And so Jesus used lots of parables. He used everyday sort of pictures and images and stories that people would have been familiar with to portray important spiritual truths. Why did he do it? Was it just to make it interesting? Was it just to make his teaching more simple? Well, actually, verses 10 to 12 that Ethan read to us tell us there's something more profound going on than that, actually. The stories are interesting and they are simple, but it doesn't mean that their meaning was clear to everyone, because you've got to come in a certain way to understand them. If you come with a proud heart, if you come with a stubborn heart, then you just won't get them. You'll see the picture, but you won't get the reality. You've got to have a humble heart. You've got to have spiritual understanding. You've got to have a hunger to understand, to get what the parables are saying. So there's a challenge for us this morning. You know, how are you going to listen today? Are you going to sit there and go, oh man alive, how long is this going to go on for? When's lunch? Or are you going to listen with a with a hungry heart. So let's just be clear what the parable is about. So this in this parable, it tells of a farmer sowing his seed. Now, of course, today the farmer, you know, it's a hard job being a farmer, I know that, but, you know, he gets in his air-conditioned tractor and Radio 2 on, and he's got this seed drill and everything's immaculate, isn't it, at the back of the going along. Well, of course, in Jesus' day, that wasn't the case, was it? There's a man with a bag, and he's going along, and he's got some seed, and he's throwing it out as he goes along. And so, in this parable, as he goes along, perhaps he's near the edge of the field, and there's a path along the edge, and it's being trampled down, and so it's all hard, and some of the seed falls on the path. You children can get that, can't you? It falls on the path. It doesn't go into the ground, it's just sat there on the top, and then the birds come, pluck it away. Some falls, then, on as he throws it around, on stony ground. That means, sort of, there's only a thin layer of soil on top of the rock, and so it springs up quickly, because it can't go down, so it comes up, and it looks encouraging, but the sun comes up, and soon it withers away. Then there's some on thorny ground, verse 7 says. It grows up, but the weeds grow up, and they choke the wheat, and it withers away. But some falls on good ground, being prepared, it's deep, it's ready for the soil. And there's a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So we can all get that picture. You young children, you can get that picture, can't you? You understand what the picture that Jesus is saying. And then look at verse 9. He says at the end, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, that's a funny expression, isn't it? I mean, as I look around this morning, I can't see anyone without ears. I mean, I can see some of your ears better than others because they're big and stick out. But we all got ears, haven't we? But Jesus isn't speaking about physical ears, is he? He's speaking about hearts. Have you got a heart? Have you got a hunger to know the truth? To hear what God would say? That's the issue, isn't it? So then, in verses 13 to 20, Jesus explains the parable and what its meaning. The disciples ask him, what does it mean? And he tells them. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 14. It says, "The sower sows the word." Okay, so this seed is a picture of the word. That means the Bible, the message of the gospel. That's really what Jesus is speaking about, the good news. Now, what is the Bible's message? Well, I want to say this morning, first of all, it's the most vital, wonderful message in all the world. You couldn't hear anything more important than the message of the Bible. Really, what's the Bible's message? We could say this. The message is Jesus Christ. The message of the Bible is wonderfully summed up in a verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So the Bible's message is the message that there's a God. And he created everything. And he made us in his image. And he made us to know him and walk with him and love him and serve him. And he's good and he's kind and he's faithful. And yet we failed to obey him. We failed to love him. And so we're in great need and we're in great trouble, because there's a judgment day coming. And we're moral, accountable beings, and we're going to have to stand before God. And yet the good news is that God has provided a savior, a rescuer. The good news is that God himself has come into our world in the person of Jesus to be our rescuer. He's died on the cross, he's risen from the dead, and he offers eternal life and forgiveness and pardon and peace to anyone and everyone who will come and trust in his Son. And the call is to repent of your sin, to acknowledge your needs, to turn from it and turn to Jesus Christ. And you're promised a place in heaven, and you're promised a place in God's family if you'll do that. That's the message. And in a sense, think about this, I've just thrown it out to you this morning. You've all just heard that, haven't you? That man of Jesus Christ, there's a savior, there's a way back to God. And the issue then is this morning, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to respond to it? What sort of ground are you like this morning? So let's just think about, just for a moment, those four different types of hearers and and responses to this message. That was the message that Jesus preached. That's the message that I'm preaching to you this morning. Well, in verse 15, we've got the response. I've called it the hard-hearted hearers, okay? The hard-hearted hearers. Verse 15, that type of hearer is represented by that pathway along the side where it's just hard and the seed doesn't really go in at all. Nothing really happens to it. And there are people who are like that when it comes to the gospel. Perhaps even before they've heard it, they've hardened their heart. They've rubbished it. They've already decided it's rubbish. I've had plenty of people like that. Before you even told them, they don't want to know. Or perhaps they're just not interested. Don't want to think about it. I've met lots of people like that. I've had lots of people in church like that. You can tell as soon as the sermon starts, the shutters come down. They're not interested. Or perhaps they grow hard as they hear it. Suddenly have people like that. As they hear about God, and as they hear about sin, and as they hear about the need of a Savior, they go, you can see them growing hard. They don't like it. They don't want to know. It's like the seed falling on the hard pathway. And Jesus says, look at the verse, look at verse 15. He says, when they hear, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Satan comes immediately and takes the word away that was sown in their heart. So we're reminded this morning that there's a spiritual battle going on. That when the Bible's preached, when the gospel's preached, when God calls us to come and trust in him and find life in him, there's someone who's not happy. There's a spiritual war going on. Satan doesn't want us to hear or obey or follow. So Jesus looked around this crowd. I mean, even Jesus, the greatest preacher there has ever been, knew that when he preached, there were people whose hearts were hard. They wouldn't listen. And so what's Jesus saying? He's saying to us this morning, don't be like that. Don't be hard. At least give the message a hearing. At least let it come into your heart. At least think about it. Don't be a hard-hearted hearer. Then secondly, look, there's the response of what I've called the shallow-hearted hearer. That's verse 16. So this sort of person is represented. Again, you children can understand it. Seed falls on ground. It's not much soil. It's just a little bit of soil. It's not very deep. And then there's rock underneath it. So it sort of springs up, but when the sun comes up, when the heat gets going, it's got no roots. And so it just withers away. And Jesus knew that there were people in the crowds who would seemingly respond well to the message. It says, doesn't it, in verse 16, they immediately receive it with gladness. So they say, yeah, wow, I like this. This is good. This is true. I like what I'm hearing. This resonates with me. I think I need to follow this Jesus. I think I need to believe in him. I think I need to become one of his disciples. And yet he knew that for many of them, that wouldn't last. That they've got, verse 17, they've got no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. After, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So Jesus knew there were people, and this happened, of course, there were people who began to follow him, who said they believed in him, but when the way got a bit hard, when trials came, when Jesus' teaching got a bit demanding, when persecution came, when the religious leaders didn't like it when they followed Jesus, they turned away. You can read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 66. It says, after that time, his teaching got very challenging, and it says, after that time, many of his disciples went away and followed him no more. So we have to understand this morning that though the gospel that God offers us is free, we haven't got to earn it or deserve it. We just come with faith and empty hands, and God promises to have mercy on us. Though it's free, there's a cost to following Jesus. It can be hard. It may bring trouble. And often that's what proves whether a person's faith is genuine or not. You know, what happens, you say you follow Jesus, what happens when trouble comes? What happens when trials come? What happens when it begins to bite following Jesus? So Jesus is saying to us this morning, is there a real root in you, if you like? Is your Christianity more than just a superficial coming along to church, perhaps on a Sunday, perhaps occasionally, and if it caused you any trouble, you wouldn't be here? Or is it real? Because Jesus says this matters more than anything else. Okay, that's the second response. We're making our way through. Thirdly, the response of what I've called the cluttered-hearted hearer. Okay, the cluttered-hearted hearer. So this is represented by, again, you children can get this, the seed that falls on the ground and it springs up. But it's like so many of our gardens, isn't it? Weedy, and there's thorns, and there's thistles, and it all comes up together, and it chokes. And it comes to nothing. And some people are like that with the message of the gospel. They hear it and they go, yeah, this is right. This is true. They feel convicted. They know they're a sinner and they know they need a savior. And they think, I must think about this some more. I must take this away. I mustn't just forget about this. But then what does it say? Verse 19, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Again, I have to say, I've seen that many times in this place. People who've come along and have seemed to be interested, seemed to listen, seemed to be concerned, but then, life's so full of worries and so full of things. Well, why am I going to pay the mortgage? What am I going to do? All sorts of worries and concerns that fill their mind and they disappear and you don't see them again. Or others who are interested and concerned, but there's something else that's drawing them in a different direction. There's that love of money. There's that desire for possessions, that want for ease. And that thought that those things could satisfy them. And they wander off and they go after those things. And any interest, any concern at the beginning, it's choked away. Or what did it say there? Also, the desire for other things. I mean, our world, our day is brilliant, isn't it? At filling our time with all sorts of nonsense, not necessarily bad stuff, but just there's plenty of bad stuff, but not all bad stuff, but just stuff that just fills our time and trivial stuff that just stops us thinking about big things. And so Jesus is asking us then, well, don't be like that. Be careful, because there's so many things that could fill your mind and so many things that could distract you, so many things that after you've heard this morning, you go away and your life's full of all sorts of other things and you go, oh, I must remember, I must think about this, I must think about what Hugh says, but off you go and then you forget it. So many people are like that. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. So we see from those first three types of hearer that preaching the gospel, telling people the good news, can be quite discouraging, you know. There are those who will seem so hard, you just can't get through to them. There are those who thrill you to start with and then wither away and break your heart. There are those who seem to hear, but they're you can just tell they're preoccupied by so many other things and they disappear. But thankfully, that's not the end of the parable, is it? There's another response, the response of the ready-hearted hearer. That's how I put it, the ready-hearted hearer. In verse 20, it's represented then by the seed, by the ground that's broken up, and it's ready to receive the words, the seed, and it brings forth a harvest. It grows, and it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. So that's a picture, isn't it, of people who hear the message, really hear it. And what does it say they do? Look at verse 20. They accept it. That's a strong word, okay? That means embrace it. So again, let's have another parable. Let's have another picture. There you are. You're drowning in the sea or you're drowning in a river. And somebody throws you a life belt. Okay, what do? You grab it, don't you? You cling to it. You stop doing whatever you are doing, flapping around, and you grab hold of this. And you cling to it as if your life depended on it. And that's what these good crowd hearers do with the gospel, with the message of Jesus. They go, this is the most important thing in all the worlds. This is a message that shows me who I am and who God is and how I can be forgiven. I know this is true. And they grab hold of it and they cling to Jesus Christ, the Savior. And that word accept actually also carries the idea of delight. So there's somebody you love and you embrace them. That's also what the word carries here. And that's what happens when you see Jesus Christ, really see him, understand who he is, what he's done, what he's like, then you rejoice to cling to him. You rejoice to lay hold of him because you realize how wonderful he is and how glorious he is and how good he is. And what happens when somebody does that? Well, it says, verse 20, they bear fruits. It produces fruit, the fruit of real repentance and real change and real life and the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. It's life transforming. That's the impact the gospel has. That's what God says he'll do. If you come to him and embrace this message, he'll save you, he'll rescue you, he'll change you, he'll make you a fruitful person in the sense of being able to live for God and know him and trust him, find your all in him. So the big question then this morning is this, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? How have you responded? Some of you have been here many, many times before. Have you responded? Have you just listened? Have you glazed over? Have you become hard just through hearing it again and again and again? Well, maybe the Lord brought you along here this morning to go, well, come on, listen, truly listen, embrace this message. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, you can come and know this wonderful life that's found in Jesus Christ. The parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. The message to us this morning, every one of us, is embrace it, and find the life that's found in Jesus Christ.